Well, today we're finishing our series called Brand New Me, and we started this in the new year because, let's face it, when we begin a new year, we all say New Year's resolutions, or many of us, if you're very goal-oriented like me, you start setting these lists of things you want to do differently, ways you want to be different, a better person, to become a brand new me. But what I found in my walk, in my everyday life, and so many times, we try to do it through a diet, or we try to do it where you know, finding it with a new amount of effort. If I just try harder, or if I dedicate more time to my family, or, you know, if I just arrange my priorities in a certain way, then I'll be a brand new me. I'll become a new person. And what happens so many times is we go about a couple weeks, and all of a sudden those resolutions and those goals that we had, suddenly we've fallen down on that. And so what the series I wanted to speak into, and what we've been talking about, is how God can make us a brand new me. And it's not by, if you were here the first week, I had a whiteboard up here, and I talked about what it looks like in so many ways where we think, we try to align our priorities, where oftentimes we say, well, God, I want to put you first this year. And God, I know we want you to be at the highest place, and then maybe whatever would be next, maybe our family second, and then maybe it's our career or whatever third. And so many times, and that's good in principle, but what I found is, what does that mean for Jesus to be first and for our family to be second? Does it mean that we neglect our family in order to follow Jesus more? And what does it mean for our career to be behind Jesus? Does it mean that we neglect our career in order to follow Jesus? See, in practice, when you try to live that out, what I found and what I encourage you to do in the first week is to don't put Jesus first this year. And that sounds kind of funny, and that sounds a little bit shocking. But what we've been talking about is not to put Jesus first, but what would it look like for Jesus to become the center that shapes everything in our life? So it's not Jesus, then my family. It's not Jesus, then my career. It's Jesus in my family. It's Jesus in my career. It's Jesus in my circumstances. And so today we're going to be, we've looked at over the past few weeks, we talked about what that looks like for Jesus to be in our relationships. We also talked about last week, what that looks like for Jesus to be in the center of our mission and our purpose. And as we're sent out to God has a mission for every single one of us, no matter where we are, no matter where we've been, no matter where we're working, no matter where we are in school, that God has a mission for us. And it's bigger than us. But today I want to kind of do a U-turn, as I talked about. And we're going to be looking at, what does it look like for Jesus to be the center that shapes our circumstances? I mean, let's face it, life isn't always, hunky-dory, to do a really say a really corny phrase. Mandy will get on to me about that. She told me I need to stop being corny on my phrases, so I'm sorry. You get what you get. But it's one of those things where it's a joy to worship God. Blessed be your name, O Lord, when things are going well, but when things aren't lining up the way we want it to be, when stuff just starts to happen in our life, what I found is that the true mark of faith is when we're willing to say, God, even though I don't know what's going on right now, I'm willing to say, blessed be your name. Because that's what it means to allow Jesus to be the Lord in every area of our life. And so what does that look like for Jesus to be the center of our circumstances? And how does Jesus shape even our circumstances? And so that's what we're talking about today. But I'm thankful we have a God who not only works in us when things are going well, we have a God who works in us and through us to make us new in the middle of any circumstance we go through. You know, God never promised that if we follow Jesus, everything will suddenly fall into place. Now, certainly, in a lot of ways, when you align yourself with the creator of the universe through a relationship with Jesus, all of a sudden your family starts to work better and your life starts to work better and things start happening. But what happens so many times is that when trouble comes in some kind of way, we think, oh, my faith in Jesus maybe isn't working. And Jesus never came to be the easy button. Have you seen those commercials about an easy button? Jesus never came to be the easy button that we press to make all of our troubles go away. But Jesus promises that in the middle of our trouble, to stand beside us, to stand with us, and to help us. In fact, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. You don't hear that very much. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. In other words, we saw what that meant on the cross when Jesus overcame the world. He overcame sin and death for you and for me. Jesus overcame. But it's one of those things where until Jesus comes back and makes everything right and turns this world that had been turned upside down, right side up, when Jesus returns to make all things right, we stand in between the tree of life in the book of Genesis and the tree of life in the book of Revelation. And there's this tension of Jesus is here among us. He's with us. We can find life in him, but we wait until the final reality when we get to be with him forever, when he will wipe every tear from our eye, when there will be no more suffering or pain or death. But we live in a world today that stands in between trees where Jesus has redeemed us, but yet we wait until the final fulfillment of that. And so Jesus and his disciples oftentimes, they learned that oftentimes by following Jesus, sometimes that created even more chaos and tension, and the storms began to kick up because of their faith in Christ. And so what I want you to hear today and what I want you to know is that Jesus didn't promise to take away our trouble, but he promised to stand with us, and he's stronger than any trouble we go through. So if you have your Bibles, after I've already preached the sermon, would you turn to James chapter 1? James chapter 1 is where we're going to be looking at. If you don't have a Bible, we offer free Bibles out on the coffee table. Feel free to pick one up as you leave. Write your name in it. You're not stealing from church. This is just our gift that we want to give to you, because we know that in conjunction with the Holy Spirit working in your life, that when you read this book, that God can transform your life. That real life change can happen, not just because of the words on the page, but because it's living and that God actually does what he says in the scripture. So go ahead and this morning, as you turn there, go ahead and stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. James chapter 1, we're going to skip around a little bit, verse 2 through 5 and then 12 through 18. Here's what James says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. You can have a seat. Well, this is a heavy topic, a heavy passage, and we don't always go this heavy, but it's one of these things where we even have to use philosophy and even what the scripture says to in order to kind of chase the tail and to figure out what is God trying to say to us in the middle of our trouble, in the middle of our circumstances. And so I think this passage, though, helps us to understand where difficulty comes from. And really, where does God fit into the equation? Where does God situate in the middle of our circumstances, and what does that look like? But this passage doesn't give us the whole picture. It gives us just one of the reasons why we face different circumstances. It tells one of them, and that reason that it tells in James chapter 1 is our sin. That's one of the reasons why we face things. That's not the only thing, but sometimes we face difficult circumstances because basically what it's saying is because of a choice that we made. A choice that we've made or a wrong action that we've taken that puts us in a difficult circumstance. And we know this. We've seen this in physics. The rule is that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And so, for instance, if you go to your neighbor today, after you get home from church, and you all of a sudden just you come to them and all of a sudden you just chew them out. I mean, what's going to happen is for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So many times when we chew our neighbor out, they're immediately going to say, first of all, like, they're going to get either mad at you or they're going to withdraw from that relationship because they don't want to be hurt anymore. And so you may be left wondering, what happened in this relationship? Why are they mad at me? Why are they pulling their friendship away from me right now? And oftentimes it's because we've done something to wrong them. We get this. That's the way we've grown up to know the world works, is that if you touch a hot stove, you get burned. Different things like that. And so James 1 shows us that sometimes we face difficult circumstances because we are tempted to do something wrong and we carry out that wrong or that sin. And so sometimes we find that we are the cause of a difficult circumstance that we're facing. Now let me pause there. That's only one of the reasons why we face different things. There's many other reasons why when circumstances happen, to tell the reason for why circumstance happens. But if we are the reason for, if we've done something to wrong somebody, or if we've done, our sin has caused a circumstance to happen, the Bible, all over the Bible, the message is this, and it says it in various ways. Turn around from your way of living to God's way of living. That's the way out of that. That's a way to follow Christ and for Christ to be the center of that circumstance. To turn away from your way of living to God's way of living. And God starts to make sense and starts to organize that so that we can live like Him. But that's only one of the reasons. And so and one of the other reasons, sometimes we face difficult circumstances because evil exists in the world. Now this is heavy stuff. This is like a philosophy assignment here in some ways. But people always wonder, why do bad things happen to good people? Why is it that things happen and we don't have an explanation for that? Well, the scripture tells many different reasons. And another one is our sin and the choices we made. But another reason is because evil exists in this world. That we stand between trees and we know the end of the story. That we have a God and a Savior who has conquered everything. And that we know, it's kind of like when you read a good book or you see a movie. If you were to fast forward to the end, you see the drama in the middle, and if we were to focus on the drama and live in light of that drama, we might not understand all that happens at the end, but we know the end of the story in the scriptures. The revelation says that God has won the battle, that God has conquered all, and that God wins. And so we're on a winning team if we follow Jesus. But it says until then that we have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy the good plans that God has for us. And so maybe a good example of this, it's hard to nail down, here's the reason why this happened, but maybe a recent example is the shooting that occurred in the school system, Sandy Hook, Connecticut. Just pure evil that's going on there. Or maybe another one, the Holocaust that happened in World War II. Those are just pure evil, things that are going on. So sometimes evil is a cause of our circumstance. But what I want to focus on today is a little bit different. Let's face it, sometimes difficult circumstances just happen. Sometimes we're going about our life and we're following God and we're doing everything that we think is the right way to do things. And all of a sudden, it's not because of something that I've done, and it's not because of evil that's in the world, but stuff just happens. A natural disaster occurs, or someone gets terminally ill and we're not expecting it, or we fall off something and break our leg. Sometimes things just happen. And so suddenly we're thrust into a situation that we did nothing to control, and it seems like it's out of control. And so in John chapter 9, there was a story like this where people are trying to reconcile, what's going on here? And there was this man who was born blind. And they bring this, the whole understanding they all had throughout the Old Testament is, if something bad happened, well, you must have done something to cause that. We're used to that. If something bad is happening, you must have done something to cause that. So they bring this man who was born blind to Jesus in John chapter 9, and they say, Jesus, who was it that sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus completely rearranges their understanding of how all this stuff works and why we face difficult things. Because Jesus, in effect, said, no one sinned. No one did anything wrong. But this thing that's happening right now, God's power is about to be revealed to you as I heal this man. And Jesus heals this man who was born blind. And so Jesus doesn't really give a great reason there, but basically the reality is sometimes things just happen. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, as we talked about how we stand in between trees, between the tree of life in Genesis and the tree of life in Revelation, where it's God is here, but we wait on the already but yet not yet aspect of God making everything new. Romans chapter 8 says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning. as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. In other words, creation now groans to be restored. And so sometimes things happen in the world, and it's a part of just creation groaning to be restored. And the purpose in telling you that some of these things is not so that you can point out when different things happen and say, oh, this is because of my sin, or this is because creation's groaning, or this is because of evil. But I want you to know there's a lot of things in play. And as a pastor, if I'm praying with somebody who's going through something difficult, our job as Christians is not to say, here's what's going on. But to be a person that can be willing to stand in the gap with them and to say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with you, and I'm going to pray because God is bigger than your trouble. And so the cool thing is, when God created everything, it's a reminder that Colossians 1 says, in him all things hold together. Everything was made by him and for him, and in him all things hold together. And so you know that old children's song, he's got the whole world in his hands. That's not just a children's song, because when you're going through different circumstances, it's amazing to know that the God who created you with his own hands, that knows every hair on your head, holds you together. He holds your marriage together. He holds your life together. And if you abide in him, he'll hold you up. And so that's what I want you to know more than anything. But those are different reasons that we face different things. But James chapter 1 reminds us that God stands with us in our circumstances and can use those circumstances to make our faith stronger. Now I want to share something with you today that's very transparent, if you'll let me. And we're almost 11 months old now, and I haven't shared this with you before. And it's something that has really made me who I am. And I share this, it was a circumstance that I went through, and I share this not to tell you and to tell a sob story to you. I don't care about that, but everything I'm wanting to do is just to show you the power of God that works in real situation in real people's lives. When I was a senior in high school, I was getting recruited to play college football and baseball. I was pretty good, and it looked like that was going to be my path. I was going to be a businessman, and I was going to work alongside of people who weren't even in church, and was going to just show them who Jesus was. But in high school, I was a high school quarterback, and God had kind of put me on a platform in some ways, in the eyes of my teammates, and. It was one of those things, to much is given, much is required. And I realized that I felt like God had given me that platform, if you will, in order to point people to Jesus. Not to say I'm the stuff or anything like that, but to say, look, I want to show you who Jesus is. And so there's a lot of people that kind of looked up to me as the leader of the team in a lot of ways. And so it was amazing through that time to be a person in the locker room who could influence people who maybe I wouldn't have had the opportunity to had God not given me those gifts. And so as I'm getting ready to go into college, I felt like God had placed on my heart, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go on a sports team and to go in a place where maybe there's 100 people in a locker room, and I want you to be an incredible witness for me. I want you to show people who I am. So I was like, Lord, this is what I want to do. I want to do this more than anything. And it was more than, it wasn't about, I want to play college sports because it's going to be cool and fun, although it would be. But it was really one of those things where I realized God wanted to use me. And so, you know, here I was getting ready to play sports and all that stuff in college. And you know, but the beginning of my senior year of high school, I went from starting quarterback to not being able to get on the field. I was getting injured nonstop, and I didn't know what was going on. My body was falling apart. And I literally thought, as a senior in high school, that I'm just getting old. And I've learned that that's different. You know, I learned that, you know, what it means to really get old now that I'm almost 30. But but anyway, it was one of these things where I felt like, you know, it was a humbling time because I kept getting injured and injured. And as recruiting stuff was really kicking up, and it was like, this is, God, what you wanted me to do. This is the calling you put on my life. You've given me the gifts to be a witness in a way that other people can't do that. Not that nobody can, but there's a very few amount of people that have the ability to go there. And so, God, I want to be a witness for you. And so when I found myself on the bench and not being able to get on the field as one of the leaders on the team, it was one of the most humbling times of my life. And when it was more than, oh, your gift isn't working right now. It was my calling was subtly being diminished day after day. And so I stood there on the sidelines frustrated and upset and thinking and literally saying, God, how could this happen? How could this happen? Where, I mean, the plan was, I was going to go and be a witness for you. It wasn't selfish motives, God. I want to just be used by you. And you've given me the gift to do that. And so I didn't understand why this gift was taken away. And, you know, if you heard the scripture, it wasn't that God causes all these things. In him, he is the one, he's the every good and perfect gift comes from God. God is not, never in the scripture is it pointed, it's God is making this happen to punish somebody like that. And so I still don't understand why the timing of it or anything like that, or why I kept getting hurt. But it's one of those things where I realized that God didn't cause it, but God wanted to use it. And so in the middle of this circumstance that I was going through, this difficult time, one of the most amazing things, it was like my scope of ministry was pretty small. I wanted to be a witness for God. And this is before I was called into ministry and everything. I wanted to be a witness for God in a locker room. Well, in the middle of that horrible time for me, and jarring time, that was when God placed the call of ministry on my life. Called me into full-time ministry and basically saying, you know, this scope of ministry and being used was a lot smaller than what I intend. And I can even take something that's as disappointing as something like that, and even where you feel like your gifts are not being used, and I want to use you in a different way and for a lifetime. But in the middle of that, that was how God works, that God takes something that's a mess and makes something beautiful out of it. But to continue on, the other part of it was the circumstance I was going through just continued to get worse, though. And as I went to college, my health continued to deteriorate a lot. And it was interesting because I went from this big athlete to all of a sudden barely being able to function my body. And it was a challenging time in my life because I found out in my sophomore year of college that I had herniated two discs in my back. And that was the whole cause of all this stuff that was going on. And basically it created extreme numbness in my right leg and a lot of pain. And it continued to progress and continued to progress. And it was a jarring time where I was thinking, you know, it's like, God, what is going on here? And during my senior year of college, at 21 years of age, basically my body got to a point where I couldn't make it anymore. And I remember it was one of the most difficult times where I was in just so much pain. I couldn't stand up, sit down, lay down. In fact, I had to take an incomplete on some of my classes. But I remember trying to take a few finals, laying down on the ground in a classroom. It was really like a humbling time. And especially somebody who was an extreme athlete, if you will. But just being in that much pain. In fact, I remember one of the worst things was just every single night, just being in so much pain, I couldn't do anything to get rid of it. And I would lay down on the ground, and I remember my roommates would come in and would, they would be so shocked because the next morning they would say, what was going on last night? Because we heard you screaming, you know, because I was in so much pain. And it was one of those things where I would stay up at night and I would just pray, God, help me to make it through another night. I can't make it anymore. I'm in so much pain. And here I am at 21 years old, and essentially my life was pretty much nil in a lot of ways. But my spirit inside was different. Because even though I was going through a really, really tough time, that somehow God allowed my joy to be complete, that I was joyful because of who I was in Jesus. And it was one of those things where God stood beside me in the middle of that. And every single night I would give thanks to God that, God, thank you that you allowed me to make it through another night. And one of the coolest things, though, is that, you know, God is in the healing business and heals in a lot of different ways. And January 3rd, 2007, God gave me a new life. And God ended up healing me through surgery and no longer have any pain in my leg or anything, and the numbness is gone. In fact, as soon as I woke up from surgery, the biggest thing I wanted to know is I hadn't felt part of my leg in 4 years. And I looked at my dad and in the hospital bed, and I said, Dad, can you touch my leg right now? And I just want to see what that's like. And he, you know, moved the covers and touched my leg. And it was like the sensation of, picture not drinking a carbonated drink for 4 years. Being off of all that for 4 years and all of a sudden drinking a Red Bull for the first time. It was that much like, yeah, sensation. And at that moment, I realized that God really does heal. That God heals in the middle of any situation that we go through, and that God stood beside me. And all those prayers, God be with me, God bring me through, God had brought me through. And I tell you that not to say my circumstance is different or worse or anything that anybody goes through, but to say that God works in real time and real space, and we have a God who really does heal. Sometimes God heals instantly. Sometimes God heals over time. Sometimes God heals through surgery, and sometimes God's final healing is even through death. And it's one of those things where we have a God who loves us beyond belief and not only wants to take care of us physically, but wants to make us the people he's created us to be. And sometimes those very situations and those circumstances make you stronger and make you the person that God wants you to be. Because in some ways, when we face those circumstances, God leads us on to becoming a person that maybe we wouldn't quite be there if we wouldn't have faced that obstacle. And that's what James 1 is talking about. So when we face trials or circumstances, the temptation for us is often to say, God, why are you causing this to happen? And man, I was in a situation like that several times. And that was a wrestling. God, why is this happening? Why don't you take this away? And James chapter 1 reminds us that God isn't standing over any of us with a smite button. If you've seen Bruce Almighty, that's one of the things he says to God. God isn't like that. We have a God who loves us beyond belief. And James 1 says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that's of God, everything that's holy, everything that's good comes from God. And God wants to work in your life right where you are. It may not be a physical thing that you're going through, but God wants to stand beside you and to bring you, to stand beside you and to help you in your circumstances. That God doesn't cause bad things to happen, but can stand in the middle of any situation or circumstance we're in. And so we can't control oftentimes, if you think of poker, the hands, the deck of cards that we're dealt sometimes. But what we can control is how we respond. How we respond in the middle of circumstances. Because we can either choose to withdraw away from God and to say, God, I don't want to be a part of this and what you're doing. Or these circumstances and situations, God can use those to draw us even closer to himself. To lead us to the God who created us and who knows what's best for us. And it might seem crazy that James tells us to consider it pure joy. I'll tell you what, there's often times where we don't feel like being joyful. I didn't feel like being joyful when I was in so much pain I could barely think. But in the middle of that, when Jesus wants to step into the center of our life and to make us a new person, God gives us a new heart and a new mind and suddenly gives us the ability to be able to see past our immediate circumstances into God's bigger plan that he has. Realizing that God has done so much for us, not just in our circumstance, but wants to lead us to becoming the people he created us to be. It reminds us that no matter what cards that we've dealt, if you have faith in Jesus, you're playing with God's cards. He's already won the deck. He's in charge of it. And in the middle of our circumstances, we can either stare at the bad set of cards in our hand, or we can look at our Heavenly Father, knowing that he's the one running the poker set. You know, Colossians 1 says, in him all things hold together. And I want you to know that he holds you up and he stands with you. And he's strong enough and big enough to overcome any trouble. James 1 reminds us that God has a greater purpose than we can see even in our present circumstance. In fact, God's greatest purpose for our life is not to just make us continually happy, but really to make us holy. God wants to make us and shape us and to mold us into the person we've been created to be. To make us look and live more like Jesus. And that's God's really final calling, what God wants to do in our lives. And so sometimes our circumstances, God uses those to lead us on into holiness. That's what it says in James chapter 1. It gives this progression where it says that the circumstances build, which builds us in perseverance, allows us to persevere in following God daily. And as we persevere in God, it allows us to be mature and complete. Another word for that in the scripture is holy. To be holy as God is holy. And so God's ultimate plan is to do that. And so if you're in the middle of a difficult circumstance, I want to invite you this morning to place your cards that you've been dealt in the hands of Jesus. Because he owns the deck. He's in charge of your life. He's created you. He knows what's best for you. And he's strong enough to stand with you in anything you go through. And so as we prepare to enter the time of continued worship, you know, there's a song that there's a song we're gonna play on the screen in just a minute, but I want to remind you that one of the ways that God can help you in the middle of your struggle is by worshiping through it. By being willing to say, not blessed be your name when times are good, but God, I'm willing to say, even when I'm in a tough spot, blessed be your name. Because it's there that we'll find and God will lead us into becoming the people God's created us to be. Let's check out this video about what God can do in our lives as the band comes up.